everybody. Leo Laporte. Time for a hands-on look at the new Surface Duo. It's time for Hands on Tech. Hands on Tech comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. Using the same password everywhere, that's a security nightmare waiting to happen. LastPass easily creates unique passwords for every site. Visit LastPass.com/Twit.
This is Twit.
Oh, on Hands on Tech, we like to take a look at the newest hardware and software. And this is the newest phone. New, not only because it's the first Android device from Microsoft, but also it's the weirdest Android device we've seen in a while. There's been a lot of attention paid to dual screen phones. In fact, it's interesting because Microsoft has, for more than a few years, been teasing the idea of a dual screen device. First with something they codenamed Courier. You might have seen the videos of the Courier at work. And then with Project Andromeda, at first it was going to be a dual screen Windows device. And they still plan to do that. They call that the Neo. But eventually Microsoft said, you know, maybe we shouldn't try to build an operating system for a dual screen device. What if we could use Android? And the Duo was born. It's actually a beautiful piece of hardware. Not inexpensive, $1,400. It is not a folding screen like Samsung and LG's folding screens. It's really literally two screens on the left and on the right. These are beautiful LG OLED screens. There's a very elegant 360-degree hinge separating the two screens. It does put a little gap in between the two screens. And when you use apps like, say, Photos to spread across both screens, there is a little disadvantage to doing that. There's a gap right down the middle, which is kind of obscures what's in the middle. But really, that's not what this is all about. Microsoft really thinks that having two screens are going to change how you work, that you're going to use this in kind of a unique way. This is the Microsoft launcher, the Android interface, and they've changed the software to modify it so that it understands that it's on two screens. Watch when I scroll back and forth, you see the screens go across. When I scroll all the way to the left, that Microsoft My Day launches, and look what happens to these icons. They very cleverly, and obviously Microsoft spent a long time coding this, scooch over in the dock to fit. Now, there's a disadvantage to that. You can only get six icons in the dock because they have to all fit in the squozed mode, even though there's plenty of space in the dual screen mode to have more icons in the dock. That's one of a number of little frustrations that make you wonder if this really is fully cooked. For instance, the notifications. You have a whole bunch of screen real estate. Why are you putting the notifications in this skinny little box? And speaking of notifications, unlike the Samsung and other dual screen phones or folding phones, there's no screen when it's closed. So the only way to see what your notifications are is to actually open the phone. You unlock it with this fingerprint reader on the side. It's not part of the on-off switch, which is here, or the volume controls. It's just its own fingerprint reader, but it does a very good job. It's very quick. I think it's a fine way to unlock it. There are some features besides an external screen or even a light that tells me I've got notifications. There are some other features missing from this phone. It's not waterproof. It doesn't do wireless charging. And it doesn't have NFC built in. Plus, it has a pretty terrible camera. You know, it's not the worst camera ever, but it's kind of a camera from maybe 2012 or 2013. It's not a camera on a par with other top-of-the-line smartphones. So this is a phone with a lot of compromises, and I think those compromises are because Microsoft wanted to make something very thin and beautiful. 5 millimeter thick screens, even combined, this is only 10 millimeters, which isn't much thicker than just any old phone. It's a weird aspect ratio, 3:2, so it actually doesn't fit easily in a shirt pocket, but it'll fit fine in a suit coat pocket or a jeans pocket. It's not really designed to be pocketable. It's also not really designed to be a phone. You can flip it all the way over, and when you do that, the screen blanks out on the other side, so you know nobody can see it, and you could make phone calls this way. Although, I have to say, holding this to your ear looks a little bit goofy, you're probably more likely to use it either in speaker mode or with the Bluetooth headsets. Microsoft even says it's not a phone. They say, no, no, don't think of it as a phone. It makes phone calls, but really what it is a little two-screen pocket computer. And it kind of succeeds on that level. In fact, they probably should never have said they have a camera. They should say, no, no, this is a Skype camera or Teams camera. It's perfectly adequate for that. And the form factor is actually pretty good for things like that because you can turn the phone into like a mini laptop. Have the camera up here, do the Skype call here, and have access to a keyboard or another application running on the second screen. So if you're willing to modify your behavior, there's some very cool ways to use these two screens. Microsoft makes it very easy to create a two-screen grouping, for instance. If I long press on this, I can say select, and then I can pick another application, and now I can put these two into a group, which will open those two applications. You can swap the location of the screen so that when I tap this group icon, it will launch the two applications. There are a few really cool ways to use this. For instance, if you're doing your Outlook email, if you want to spread it to two screens, there's the gesture to do that. And we look at email. When you open the email in the directory on the left, the full email opens on the right. Now, this only works with a handful of applications, almost all of them from Microsoft. So this is a single app using two screens. But you can also use the grouping to create actually some pretty cool groupings. For instance, I'm a chess player. One of the things chess players like to do is read chess books, and then they'll have a physical chess wallet with a chess set so that they can move the pieces on the screen. Or on the chessboard. Well, this is really a great way to read a chess book. I have the Kindle open on the right, the chess set on the left, and I can make these moves on the screen. This is pretty nice. In fact, it's really better than a chess wallet because I can even have the Stockfish chess playing software running in the background, analyzing the game. I mean, it's a really nice layout. So there are some ways, you know, maybe you like to listen to audiobooks and take notes at the same time. So on the left, I have Audible. On the right, I have a note-taking app. That's a kind of an interesting combination. You could do the same with the Kindle. There is one app that isn't a Microsoft app that is specially designed to take advantage of the screens, and that's the Amazon Kindle app. Microsoft got Amazon to create a two-screen version of the Kindle that actually is pretty much like reading a book. How do you like that page turn? And this is such a natural form factor. It's like a small little chapbook. So I would love to carry this, for instance, on the airplane to read books, to answer email, to maybe play a little chess. It works well for that. But those are very limited applications. The general stuff you do most of the time on the phone, it's going to be a little awkward. For instance, typing on a screen when you're holding it in the book mode is kind of unnatural. It just doesn't seem to feel right. Let's open up a note here and I'll kind of show you. This holding it with one hand and typing on the screen is awkward. If I fold it over, yeah, now it's like an actual phone. Well, and now you're seeing one of the common problems with this phone, which is it's not kind of fully cooked. I think the phone software itself still has a way to go. When you first take the phone out of the box, you will get a big update, and it will make it a little bit more usable. The earliest reviewers who had pre-production versions had all sorts of hesitations and freezes and stalls. That's not as bad, I think, on the release version as they had. But it's still, every once in a while, weird things happen. For instance, let's say I'd like to watch a football game on my YouTube TV while I'm surfing the net for stats. So ideally, I should be able to do this pretty easily. Here's YouTube TV. And let's launch the football game on here. I'm sorry, NFL. We're not really watching this game. I'm going to make it full screen. Here's problem number one. In theory, this would rotate. I mean, this would be a great way to watch if it would just rotate. It does. Eventually. Just not easily. My friend Lou MM, who has been using a Duo for some time, says it works better. The accelerometer for rotation works better if you open the thing flat. I've never found that to be the case. But as soon as this rotates, I'll be able to watch the game in a kind of widescreen. These are beautiful screens. I have to say that. These are LG screens. And I'll be able to surf the net. But, yeah, as you can see, it's a little frustrating, a little disappointing. And here's the real problem. This is a $1,400 phone. Actually, I got the 256 gig version because there's no SD card. That's $1,500. And that's an awful lot to pay for a phone that's interesting, a great experiment, a really nice try, beautiful hardware, but just kind of inadequate as a phone or as a computer you carry. And that's kind of a problem. It's a lot of money for something that I guess it's just really not ready for prime time. And that's, in a nutshell, the problem almost everybody has had. I don't want to knock Microsoft because I think they're really trying to do something different here. And I kind of like the thinking. I like the idea. Not a folding screen, but a dual screen device. And the software is configured in such a way that you can take advantage of the two screens. I think that's a really interesting idea. I just don't think there are enough ways to use that. I don't think it works quite well enough. It's missing enough features that you can't justify the $1,400. So my recommendation, of course, is you shouldn't buy this. I'm even considering returning it. But at the same time, I really want to commend Microsoft because I feel like they're trying something. They could have just released another glass slab. It would have been just a nothing burger. At least this is a something burger. It's just maybe not the burger you want to eat. The Microsoft Duo, $1,400, available from the Microsoft store. It's a beautiful artifact. It feels like it comes from the future. But for the present, it's just not ready for prime time. I'm Leo Laporte, and that's Hands on Tech. Thanks for joining us.
I'm Jason Howell, host of Hands on Android, where each week I take a look at the Android operating system and really dive deep into what it can do for you and how it can improve your quality of life, whether it be tips and tricks on how to use it better, whether it can be little known secrets that open up a world of possibilities. So many topics to dive into, including your emails. Subscribe by going to twit.tv/HOA. We'll see you there.
Keep up with all the hottest tech news and gadgets. Visit twit.tv. There you'll be able to find and subscribe to all our tech shows. Thanks for watching Hands on Tech.